It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. 1:45, where are we at in society? Zaya, let us know. At 1:30, we are getting back into the weekend in football, talking about things on both the college and NFL side. And speaking of, in mere minutes, the great Brandon Lang gets you D-gens ready for the gambling weekend in football. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. It is Friday. We're going to get to Brandon Lang here in just a second. We've talked about the NFL change, where they're going to have a wild card game on a Monday, which is wild. How about a Ryder Cup update? USA up 3-1 over Europe. The Americans up 1-1 in one of those matches that are out there now. They're just on the front nine, though, so just getting started with these four matches. Mr. Scheffler is part of it. Scheffler and DeChambeau are one of the teams. Now that we get to the four-ball play this afternoon, we will keep you updated there. We ready to roll, Isaiah? Ready to go? Let's do it. The Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline brings us the one and only Brandon Lang. Not only can you go to BrandonLang.com, not only is he the host of the best damn sports betting pod, period. Brandon, let me tell him so you don't have to. Last week, Nebraska plus 22.5, bang. Last week, Florida plus 14.5, bang. Last week, Penn State minus 5, bang. Last week, Kansas City and the over, bang. And last week, Michigan State, because he had that feeling, bang, bang, and bang. Everybody but Manny Diaz loves that. How you doing, Brandon Lang?
That's great. That's as good as it gets.
Man.
Unfortunately, when you give out all those winners on radio and the pick that you get, that you decide to put on BrandonLang.com, is the Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh.
It's pretty much lucky I'm not in jail today, because I would catch a flight to Indiana and break both knees of the middle linebacker McFadden of the Hoosiers that basically said, "Hey Lang, I'm going to get tossed with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter, up 14-0, and Cincinnati has one first down. I know, Brandon, I'm the team captain and I make all the defensive calls and I'm the one guy that we can afford to lose, but you know what? I'm just going to hit the quarterback late after it's 3rd and 10, and we're forcing another punt with 4 minutes to go, and then they're going to go on an 8-play drive once I get ejected for targeting, and then my quarterback's going to throw a pick with 47 seconds to go at midfield, and I'm going to give him a field goal right before the half, and then it's 14-10 at that. Oh, it gets better. And then I'm down at the goal line with 7 minutes to go, 1st and goal at the 1, going to take a 31-30 lead, plus 4, cover in the bag. Oh, we're going to fumble.
It giveth and it taketh away. That is not good.
God, it hurts. It stings. I go on radio, as you just said, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. But the one I'm held accountable for, the only one that matters, is the one I post on my website on Saturday. And I gave out Memphis. Oh, my God. I gave San Diego State BYU. I was just all over.
Oh,
man,
no.
Listen, driving to the stratosphere, 50 floors up, jumping on that roller coaster and then unseatbelting myself. You know, that was a thought, too. I mean, Jesus. I was on the phone with my therapist for about 2 hours. She was like going, just get it out. Just get it out. You know, get violent, you know. Listen, I go to Monday night. Then I go to Monday night with Jared Goff. I mean, that was even – that plus 11.5 point underdog up 14-10 at 17-14 at the half. And Jared Goff saw to it that I literally didn't cover that game. And at my local grocery store in Vegas, I saw a guy that looked just like Jared Goff. I almost hit him. Almost hit him right in the jaw. And he goes, "Why'd you do that?" "Because you look like Jared Goff. That's why I did it." I really, for a minute there was a moment, and I just said, I'll be in jail. Judge says, "How do you plead?" I say, "Guilty based on temporary insanity. Throw me in a mental institution for 30 days. That's fine. I'll be Jack Nicholson. Give me the big engine. We'll dominate the basketball court. I'm fine getting drugged for 30 days, because that's what this godforsaken business will do to you. But other than that, it's going to be a good week."
Man, oh, man. Brandon Lang. All right, let's start with the one folks around here are interested in, Texas Tech at Texas. I'm seeing Texas minus 9. We've talked to you about what you're trying to learn about Steve Sarkisian and Texas. Any feel for this one at minus 9?
No. You know, I can't get a feel for this football team, man. I mean, last week they didn't play anybody. They really didn't. So this will be the tall tale that if they blow out Texas Tech and Arkansas plays A&M tough, then that'll give us a good gauge that Arkansas is better than we all think they are, and Texas, that loss to them at Arkansas shouldn't be that embarrassing. This is a take a step back and find out. I personally think everybody I talk to likes Arkansas plus the points over A&M. Neutral field in Dallas at Cowboys Stadium. I just get the feeling A&M wins that game by 7 and everybody gets destroyed. I just, something tells me that A&M with 19 starters back, 10 on the defensive side of the football, they haven't really played a good game yet. And I just think you might be late to the dance with Arkansas. As far as Texas Tech is concerned, you know, they had, I forget who it was they played, where they were up big and got destroyed in the second half, Texas Tech. It wasn't TCU. They're like the first game of the year, Texas Tech was up big and got blown out in the second half.
Well, they won all the three games, though, right? I mean, they've won all their games. You may be thinking of another team. They played SFA, wow. Florida International, and then they beat somebody else early.
Okay, then I'm thinking of somebody else in that conference that was up big in the first half and got their doors blown out in the second half. This is a big number. Sark 2-0 at home, though. Red Raiders 3-6 their last 9 against the number on the Big 12 road. I think you have to lay it. I'm not, listen, I took Lafayette plus the points in week 1, and I stood there and went, wow. Lord have mercy. I'll tell you what I do like. What's that posted total at right now?
Posted.
76?
Let me see. I think, yes, I think that's right. Let me double check.
One of the highest totals. Yeah, it's one of the highest totals of the weekend.
I'm seeing 62 is what I see here.
Okay, then get you some of the over.
Okay.
You want the validated pick for the listeners? It's Texas Tech, Texas over 62.
Gotcha.
One of the best matchups in college football this weekend, Brandon, is A&M and Arkansas meeting at Jerry World in Dallas. Looks like A&M is 5.5-point favorites right now.
Yeah, he said he likes A&M.
Oh, you like A&M. Excuse me. Yep. Let's move on then to the other ranked matchup this weekend in Chicago. Some neutral site games involving ranked teams this weekend. We have Notre Dame in Wisconsin. Anything about this game that you really like?
I don't get it. I don't get why people continue to show Wisconsin so much love. I just don't get it. Okay, they beat up on a MAC school, Eastern Michigan, last week. They lost at home to Penn State. Now they're on a neutral field lane close to a touchdown. They're 13-16, their last 29 on the Vegas board. You know, I just got to feel like getting points with Notre Dame is the way to go. I don't believe in either quarterback Wisconsin has going. So I'm going to take the Irish plus the points.
Brandon, another game we're interested in around here is this West Virginia-Oklahoma game. Obviously, Oklahoma's had some close ones. People are starting to question Spencer Rattler. Is he really that good? Is he really going that early in the draft? I'm seeing minus 17 in this one. To me, that feels like a take West Virginia plus 17 and don't look back. You tell me.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. You're getting, I don't know why there's so much love. When you start out of the box and struggled to beat Tulane 38-35. Do I really trust you laying any kind of number above 14? So I'm going to continue. I went against them last week in Nebraska. I'm going to go against them again. I like what I saw from West Virginia last week. They got some boys that can go. Oklahoma 0-2, laying double digits. And I got to believe West Virginia's going to hang around.
Brandon, anything else you like in the college weekends?
Yeah, I think SMU is going to keep it close against TCU. Mm. Validate that pick right there, getting 10. SMU can score. I don't think TCU, I think they're a bit overrated. And probably one of the top three offensive lines in college football is Boston College. Keep an eye on BC plus the 2.5-3 over Missouri. And last but not least, in Waco, I'm going to take Baylor plus that 7. I think Baylor's defense is much better than people think. I think Iowa State, because they struggle at home to beat Northern Iowa to start the year. Then they turn around and lose at home to Iowa. And just because they went out to UNLV and banged up on the Rebels, people think they're just going to waltz in here. Baylor basically had them beat last year before a fourth quarter collapse. Now Baylor at home plus 6.5, 7. Get you some of the Baylor Bears.
Talking to Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com, host of the best damn sports betting pod, period. All right, Brandon, in the NFL, clearly the marquee game, Tampa Bay and the Rams. Give us a little Brandon Lang 101 for people that are maybe just getting into wanting to put scratch on games. What do you tell them about something that's this close? A one-point line, do you tell them to think over, under? Do you tell them to stay away? What do you think about this game?
I tell them this. After his Monday night performance in the second half, and the fact that Sean McVay shipped him to Detroit to begin with after taking him number two in the draft, Jared Goff should be one of those guys that when our car comes through the car wash, he's sitting there holding a blue towel, and he's one of those guys that wipes it down, and then we throw him a little tip as we go to get in our car. I mean, the guy is garbage. He's absolutely garbage. He proved it again in the second half on Monday night. But as garbage as he was and is, he still went into Tampa Bay on Monday night last year and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So now the line opened up, the Rams minus one. It has moved to Tampa minus one. And I said 2 weeks ago to my boys in Vegas, I said, just wait. And whoever is the underdog in that game after the line has moved, because I had the game at a near pick 'em, I go, whoever the dog's going to cover. Right now the dog is the Rams. I can see the line going to 1.5, maybe Tampa Bay minus two. Listen, Jared Goff can beat you in your house. I got to believe Matthew Stafford's going to be able to beat you. Tampa's not going undefeated. They're not. And this is a spot where I think the Rams get it done.
One of the 12 o'clock games that I was intrigued in before the quarterback situation changed was Indy at Tennessee. I'm surprised the Titans are still only 5.5-point favorites, considering there's going to be a rotation of Eason and Hundley for the Colts. Do you like either Tennessee in this one or something about that 48-point over-under?
This is a really interesting series in which the road team has won and covered five straight. And the last four of the last five meetings have gone over the posted total. The Colts have covered their last six on the road in 2020. Now, my boy had a $500 17 parlay last Sunday. Oof. He was 6-0 and had, get this, get ready, it was a $12,000 payout. And he had Seattle money line up 14 in the fourth, of which they were 52-0 with a 2-touchdown lead or more in the fourth quarter. They're now 52-1 and cost my boy 17 parlay.
Oh, so wow.
Tennessee did some serious damage to him with that quarter back rotation, with the travel. I would ride over the posted total. Indy figured out a way to keep it close last week against the Rams, perhaps a look ahead for the Rams to Tampa Bay this week. And I think Indy's got the back door open as well. I think you look to the over, ride that trend. Titans have dropped five of the last seven in Nashville against the number. I don't think there's any value in the side.
And by the way, Trey, here's why maybe that line hadn't moved. Carson Wentz did return to practice today, both ankles heavily taped, but he's practicing. So maybe that's why they're going to wait and see if he plays.
How much does that matter?
Yeah, right. I don't know. That's true. It's those ankles. That's a good point. All right, we're talking with Brandon Lang. Let's stay in the NFL here. How about the Cowboys and Eagles on a Monday night, Brandon? Do you feel like you know enough about the Cowboys after the win against the Chargers?
I know enough about the Cowboys. I also know enough about the Philadelphia Eagles and their head coach, who's a rookie and who is absolutely clueless. You're at home. You're first and goal at the one-yard line. You're up 3-0. There's 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. You got one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. What do you do? Okay, we're going to throw three or four times. Don't get it. Go for it on fourth and three and not get it. And then let the Niners go on a 97-yard drive to take a 7-3 lead at the half. The Dallas Cowboys are legit. The home team has won and covered the last five meetings. I think Dallas takes care of business and gets it done. Get this. Until they covered against the Eagles, this was a Philadelphia team that had dropped their last six away from home, 1-7, now 2-7, against the spread the last nine on the road. Here's the deal. In these marquee games, going forward, I will lose with the better quarterback than try to win with the other quarterback. Because had you done that on Monday night, regardless of the point spread, you would have won with Aaron Rodgers instead of hoping Jared Goff played well. Well, I will lose with Dak Prescott before I try to win with Jalen Hurts, regardless of what the point spread is.
All right, here's maybe a bit of a quandary then, based on usual trends. You tend to go with the better quarterback, but you are also a big guy who likes to pounce all over home dogs. Seattle travels to Minnesota with -2 in front of them. Minnesota should have won last week at Arizona. They're obviously a desperate team right now at 0-2. Do you like the Vikings at +2?
Here's the deal. With that cover last week, that broke Minnesota's 0-8 run against the spread going back to last year. But there's something wrong with this Vikings team. They let Diggs go. I think Zimmer's lost the team. They're 2-6 against the spread at home going back to last year. I think Zimmer's on his way out. I think they've lost this team. And this is Russell Wilson versus Kirk Cousins. And I just got to think Russ in Seattle figures out a way to get it done. I just do. This is they figured out a way. They win at Indy. They've also won the last four straight up against the Vikings, 3-1 against the number. I'll lose with Russ before I try to win with Kirk. You like that? You like that?
You like that? Not so much, Kirk. All right, some other big games. Brandon, you got the Chargers-Chiefs game. There's New Orleans and New England. There's Miami and the Raiders, where Tua is now out of that game. Any of those you like or anything else in the NFL we need to pay attention to?
Just the Raiders. Here's my feeling on the Raiders. You win a Monday night game in the manner of which you did against the Ravens. The new stadium, the crowd, Las Vegas, you overtime, the emotion of the overtime where you were first and goal at the one and didn't score, and then you turn around and get the ball back on a turnover, and then you score on the first play. You know how hard it is the next day to focus and calm down and just everybody, you can't. You're just, man, you're sky high. What a game. You're drained. Then you get on a plane, you fly all the way to Pittsburgh, you play the early game, and you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. No letdown, no letdown at all. Now you're coming back home with that crowd ready to roll against a Miami team that got run against Buffalo. And they probably wouldn't have beat the Patriots if not for the fumble late by the running back for New England. So I'm all in on the Vegas Raiders. What they showed me last week off that Monday night win by beating Pittsburgh on the road showed me something about the resilience and the focus of this football team, and I think this could get ugly. It could. I think there's some problems in Miami all of a sudden. They can't score. They just can't score. They're not good enough offensively, and I think the Raiders are a solid play.
Have you been to that new stadium, Brandon?
I went to a UNLV game last year before COVID shut it down. It's great. It's unbelievable. It's great. What's even better, as soon as you walk out the door of the stadium, right across the street's the Crazy Horse 3. You can't beat that. I got a 6'1" girl from Russia. She gets you a triple-double just walking in the door. You got the little five-foot-four-inch Latino. She gets you 21 assists. The whole roster is just top 25 draft picks in the stripper draft. That guy loaded it up. And imagine this guy. This guy bought the property before there was ever any talk of the Raiders coming to Las Vegas.
Wow.
And lo and behold, he buys the property, opens up that joint, and then the Raiders come to Vegas, and they build a stadium, and he's got the spot right across the street. Lotto winner, cha-ching!
Yeah. Yeah, that's ding, ding, ding. A lot of bells go off in Vegas, but that's big-time bells right there. That is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. He is also the host of the Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. Brandon, we appreciate it, man. We hope there's better news in certain areas this week, but you know we'll give you credit for whatever you mentioned to us. Enjoy the games, man. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Episode 3 of the Monica story. You gotta hear it.
Oh, that's right.
You gotta hear it.
I didn't realize it was a multi-part story. All right, we'll get people to tune in.
All right.
Good stuff.
Later.
Brandon Lang. Yes, that's right. He told us a couple weeks ago that on that podcast, there is a Monica Lewinsky story that is being told and being drawn out on the show. So Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period.
Wow.
Including a Monica Lewinsky story. Got to check it out. Thanks to Brandon for his time. Up next, it's our turn to make some picks. It's the Coors Light 6-pack picks, and we are dead even at this point. 9 wins apiece. We take 6 games. Yes, we're taking that Texas game. Yes, we're grabbing that Cowboys game. A&M and Arkansas too, plus 3 other games that we will pick, college and pro. Don't move. That is coming up on the Horn.
Shh. Shirts and Skins.
Shirts and Skins on a Friday. Isaiah Collier, nice enough to produce for us today. I see what you're doing now. Now tell me how this song finds its way into your brain back in the day. How did this song get taught to you? Because this is definitely not, wouldn't have been in your time frame at all.
I mean, you know I like spooky white chicks, so...
This is one
I've
step away.
I've hung out with a few from time to time, and this might have been...
This would be
playing in the background.
This would be a spooky white dude, or yes, who definitely hangs out with some spooky white chicks. I believe the technical title is "I'm 18," right? Not just 18.
Yes,
I'm 18.
Is this Warren Zevon?
Alice Cooper.
Ah, knew it was one of those weirdos.
A little weirder than than just Zevon. Great golfer, Alice Cooper. If you didn't know, that's what kept Alice from dying. Basically, is that he got into golf. So some Alice Cooper from Isaiah Collier, You Never Know. Fantastic. It's a great song live, too. Mm. Alice Cooper.
When'd you see him live?
I saw Alice a couple times. Once on the, what was it called? The Rock and Roll Express? Rock and Roll something. Mm. Where he was second out to Judas Priest, I think, on that bill. That had Motorhead on it. It was a good set.
Wow.
Rock and Roll something. And then I saw him open for Motley Crue on the farewell tour.
Okay.
One of the many farewell tours for Motley Crue. They say goodbye more than Sugar Ray Leonard. but, yeah, Alice opened that show.
I feel like Alice should have been the big act on that
show. Yeah, that's one of those tough, you know, that happens all over music where you're like, oh, this person's more influential, they mean more, but then butts in seats and it's that kind of thing.
So. It was a farewell show too.
Right, yeah.
So. Like George Strait.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's done a bunch of farewell tours.
He has. Now, George is different because I don't know who George shouldn't open for anybody. Like, I can't think of anybody George should open for.
Mm.
But Alice is at that point where he can't pack the house like he used to.
Yeah, in country music, there's probably not anybody that George opens for.
George is still packing the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key with him. All right. Thanks to Brandon Lang for jumping in. We'll get you some more picks and football talk coming up. Right now, how about ticket talk? Cowboys and Eagles. How about standing room only tickets? We've acquired some tickets to Cowboys Eagles, and we want to share them with you.
Wow.
It is Monday night. It's courtesy of Miller Lite, the official beer of the Dallas Cowboys. You got to be 21 or older to enter and win. Go to HornFM.com and get registered. This is the last day to get registered. It will end at 7 o'clock tonight. So up until then, you can get registered. And we'll pick that game and some others in our Coors Light six-pack picks. Shout out to Coors Light for being a great partner. I'll definitely have some of that Rocky Mountain cold goodness as I'm watching these games. It's 9-9. Trey had a nice move last week. I had a brief lead. He put a move on. It's 9 all in wins. So it is a big, big week. Trey, college or pro first? What do you think?
I like starting chronological, so let's go college first.
College first. All right. Why don't we start with Notre Dame and Wisconsin? Wisconsin is favored by 6.5 in this game. Bucky instructed us yesterday. Not a home game. Thanks, Buck. It is a Soldier Field game. You want to go first or second here?
I'll go second.
All righty. I'm kind of with Brandon Lang on this one. I think this is a close, hard-fought, bar fight Wisconsin win, but I don't think it's a touchdown. I'll take Notre Dame if I'm getting 6.5.
I'm with Notre Dame also here. Yeah. I don't have enough confidence in either of these two offenses to blow a game out, but I have enough confidence in Notre Dame, just the talent on that side of the ball and also the coaching to keep it closer than 6.5.
All right. Since you went with that ordering, I will make you go first on A&M and Arkansas. Aggies -5.5. What do you think?
I just don't know if I can trust Calzada enough just yet to have them win a game like this by 7-10 points. Even though A&M has owned this series since coming to the SEC, and I think ultimately they win this game by a couple of points, it's not going to be by the margin that Vegas is suggesting.
I would have to agree with you. I got to go Arkansas plus the points there as well. I told you I was early in the week. Nothing's changed my mind. I think the Aggies can win the fight, but I think it is a hell of a fight. That offensive line worries me. It worries me. And I would not be shocked if Arkansas wins this game and ends the string. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that clearly. Arkansas can beat A&M. If the Aggies don't realize it and their fans don't realize it, I don't know what to tell them. Because that team can push. And I don't like the Aggies' offensive line right now, especially on the right side. All right, let's go to the game here in Austin. This will be me first, right? Texas yep. Tech and Texas. Texas minus 9? Minus 9 is what we're picking today. Trey, that just makes it easier and easier. I feel like I would have gone Tech plus the points no matter where this thing ended up. Again, same story for me. I like Texas in the game. I think it's close, but I do not think they blow Tech's doors off. So I'm going to take Tech plus the 9.
I do still worry about Texas' offensive and defensive lines being good against even decent competition. Now, we saw them look decent versus Louisiana, but going up against a true Power 5 opponent like Arkansas exposed a lot. Start to get things back on track this last week, and I think that Casey Thompson at quarterback, his decisiveness as a runner, his ability to get in the flow a little bit quicker than Hudson Card was in the passing game, too, does make enough of a difference that the Longhorns win this one by 2 touchdowns, Chad.
There you go. Boy, I hope I'm wrong on that one. I'd love to see it. I always like watching Tech lose and by a lot, so it will be a difference of opinion in that one. All right, if we head to the pro game, let's finish off with the Cowboys. So let's start with two hated rivals of the Cowboys. Green Bay at San Francisco. San Francisco minus 3. This is you first?
This is me first, all yeah. Right. I think Green Bay got, they figured something out last week. I have the Packers winning this one outright, which of course means that they'll cover the minus 3.
Man, I'm with you. Plus 3 Green Bay. I get 3 points with Aaron Rodgers. I can't get away from that one fact, so I'm going to take that with the plus 3. All right, how about the big matchup in L.A.? I'll go first here with Tampa and the Rams. It is so razor thin, we're basically a pick 'em here. Minus 1 for Tampa Bay, but something in my defensive football mind tells me to go Rams here. They're at home, Aaron Donald, the pressure they can get on Brady. I think this will be a tough one for the Bucs. I ultimately think the Rams win the game, so I'll take the Rams plus 1.
I'm going to take the Bucs here. I think that Daryl Henderson being out is going to make a pretty big difference for this offense. They will become much more predictable in terms of the running back in and whether or not they're running or passing the football. Sony Michel is okay as a runner of the football, not great catching it out of the backfield. That's why Bill Belichick never wanted to throw it to him out of the backfield when Sony was with New England. And ultimately, I have the Bucs winning this by, let's say, 3 to 7 points.
All righty, we'll have a difference of opinion there, and we will finish off with Trey first on the Eagles and the Cowboys. Dallas minus 3.5 is what we're going with, Trey. It was a little different number earlier, but 3.5 is what we got.
I think that this Dallas defense is going to turn Jalen Hurts over 3 to 5 times. The Cowboys offense will keep chugging along, and Dallas will win this one by more than a field goal.
So for all you people that like to call me a self-loathing Dallas Cowboys fan, I've only got 3 words for you today. How dare you? Minus 3.5, I will take it. I'm not super confident. I'm not ultra confident about the Cowboys part of this. The Eagles are a mess.
Yeah.
Brandon brought up the new coach. That was as clunky a game as I've ever seen between them and the Niners. It made me realize what the Cowboys have to do in this division. I do have a little confidence in that defense after watching the Chargers game. Now, the Chargers had to puke on their own shoes a little bit, and that's part of it. I think the Eagles, Giants, and Washington will have their own puking on their shoes moments that will help the Cowboys win this division. I'll say Dallas. I think they may only win by 1 score,
okay,
but I think that score is a touchdown.
Makes sense.
I think it's around 7-ish, so I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Makes sense. Now, a couple of Big 12 games that we didn't pick this weekend, Chad, are 2 games that I am still very interested in because of the obvious, this being Texas Conference, but also because I think they will be pretty close matchups with maybe the team not favored, if not necessarily winning, keeping it much closer than the line in West Virginia-Oklahoma. So what do you think about both West Virginia-Oklahoma and then also K-State-Oklahoma State?
I think in both cases, I dig the road teams. Maybe not to win the game outright. In West Virginia's case, I would definitely take plus 17.
Oh, yeah.
With the way Oklahoma's played, I need that offense to prove it to me. West Virginia's got enough weaponry to mess with that OU defense a little bit. So I would take West Virginia plus 17. I think Oklahoma wins the game. I think Oklahoma could win that game like by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels pretty comfortable, but that still doesn't obviously cover. And then for Oklahoma State, K-State, it's a trust issue for me, and I do not trust what Mike Gundy's throwing out there. Now, the run game, it's been all right. These are two, like, clunky, not dynamic teams. I'm going to trust Kansas State a little more. I think this could be, like, Oklahoma State by 3. I think it could be Kansas State by 2. I think it could be Kansas State by 10.
What's the line right now? 5.5?
I got -6 here.
-6, okay.
What I don't think it's going to be is Oklahoma State by 2 touchdowns.
No.
Mike Gundy and your young running back, go prove me wrong. So I would take Kansas State +6.
If Skylar Thompson were playing at quarterback for Kansas State, I would have them winning this game outright, and I still might pick that before it's all said and done. I think Will Howard is starting to show some evolution at that position after being forced into action last year. I like Deuce Vaughn a little bit better than anything else Oklahoma State is rolling out in terms of running backs or skill position players. And both defenses are good. Oklahoma State's defense is the reason why they have won games up to this point. But ultimately, yeah, you know what? Give me Kansas State to win this one.
Yeah, that did, I think it could definitely happen. Also, a quick update out of the NFL. Christian McCaffrey, for you fantasy folks and others, he will miss a few weeks. They are putting him on IR technically, so I think that means he has to miss at least 3. Is that right, Trey?
Yes.
In this NFL?
3 games.
So he's got to miss at least 3, but they say he will miss multiple games with a strained hamstring. So do with that what you will. Obviously, that won't affect your fantasy league this week unless you already played him. But moving forward.
I did, and DJ Moore outscored him, too. Well, so I'm sitting pretty good right now.
There it is. That is our Coors Light 6-pack picks for the week. Again, we go in tied this week, and we have 2 disagreements. Yes, we have 2 disagreements this week, so we'll see if anybody gets a little bit of an edge. This is that strategy time of the year when it's dead even and you're trying to figure out if you want to get aggressive or not. All right, coming.
We still need to figure out what the stakes are.
I know.
Too, by the way.
Still haven't figured it out.
What if I do Mohawk? What if I go Mohawk, you go mullet?
I've already asked about the mullet. The girls are very anti-mullet.
Who cares what they say?
I think I have to.
You live in a separate part of the house than they do. They send you to your man cave so y'all can watch separate television.
Don't make it sound like I'm in some other wing of the house. They see me fairly often when they go to bed and say goodnight.
What about if you go Mohawk?
Oh, let me ask.
Okay.
I'll ask about I've never done a Mohawk.
Okay.
I'd be willing.
That's the stakes.
And you know what? If I go Mohawk, I would be willing to go Mohawk. No faux hawk. I'd be willing to go skin and bones on the side, baby.
Oh, man.
I would do it.
That's awesome.
If I'm going to go, I'll go. I'll go to the salon. I'll have them do it, and I'll say, let's go all the way. Let's do it. I would do it. I would go punk rocker Mohawk.
Oh, man. Calvin's going to be so happy for me not being very good at picking football games. I may get to match his look. Are you kidding me?
There we go. We may go Mohawk for Mohawk. Let me ask the girls on that one. All right. Coming up, where are we at in society? Isaiah Collier is going to tell us. And then coming up at 2:05, degenerate number 2 is on a Friday is Sammy P., the betting analyst for Nesson. He would admit he has not been perfect lately, but he's willing to work his way out of it. That is coming up at 2. He's also the host of the Chicken Dinner podcast. We'll get his thoughts on college and pro football. Isaiah's got Where We At in Society up next, so don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Ooh, I can actually get this one. Sheryl Crow.
Very good. Change will do you good.
Yep.
Would this qualify as a spooky white chick? She's cool.
She's got some spooky to her.
A little spooky?
Yeah, okay. She dated Lance Armstrong for a little bit.
Does that make you spooky?
A little bit.
What is that, Isaiah? Is that your Sheryl Crow dance?
That's what it is, baby.
Yeah.
Y'all know nothing about this.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Fantastic. All right, a little Sheryl Crow from Isaiah Collier. He's got Where We At in Society coming up here in just a second. And yeah, sometimes a change will do you good. I don't think Carolina Panthers would agree with you right now, because right now their change is that Christian McCaffrey is out for a few weeks. But they are 3-0, and the last 2 times they've done that, they went to the Super Bowl. So pay attention to those Carolina Panthers. I guess Matt Rhule did know the NFL and knew the right move, and I guess Joe Brady wasn't a one-year wonder necessarily. And that defensive coordinator, too, Snow, has been around the game forever. I hear Rod and Kevin breaking down his resume all the time. He's been out west for most of his career, but they're running some good defense there. Best defense in the league statistically. They've also benefited from a nice schedule to start the season. That's part of it.
Yeah, and the questions are still out, obviously, as to whether New Orleans is going to be any good on offense with Jameis Winston at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
They look good versus Green Bay week one, but that may have been as much about Green Bay as it was New Orleans.
And now, do we look differently, Trey, are we going to look differently at how the Saints lost week two? Because on its face, when you went, oh my God, they lost to Carolina, how could they do that? Well, if Carolina keeps doing this, then that loss doesn't look as bad, right?
Correct. At the same time, though, they have played the Jets and the Texans with two of their first three games.
True. That's true.
Let's see who they play in the next couple weeks. Carolina Panthers.
The football map can be dangerous. It's a dangerous game to play.
Carolina plays... Oh, yeah, that's right. They mentioned this on the broadcast late last night. They play at the Cowboys next week. So that'll be a pretty good test. They host the Eagles after that. Minnesota Vikings after that, then they're at the Giants.
Could be good. All right, a lot of good football coming. More on the football pick side of things with degenerate number two, Sammy P, the betting analyst from Nesson. He's got a lot of weird games to talk about, and he has a dream of betting a 70 or 80 point over with Presbyterian. We're going to see what's going on with Presbyterian this week.
He may have found a book in Costa Rica that's putting a number out for Presbyterian.
Come on. All right, we'll see if he can get to his goal. Right now, we have the goal of where are we at in society. Let's fix the world. Come on, let's do it.
Where are we at in society today?
All right, where are we at in society? Isaiah Collier producing, so he will run the show here. Isaiah, what's going on in the world today?
All right, fellas. Bonnie and Clyde Jr.? Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so one thing about me, fellas, I have a little dark side. And that dark side, if a kid does anything remotely bad, I find it absolutely hysterical. Obviously, I don't want a little Chucky running around murdering folks. I don't like that.
Uh-huh.
But if a kid is swearing or kids fighting, whether it's 8-year-olds or 11-year-olds, I get a good kick.
Okay.
Oh, you're good with preschool fight club?
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. We'll watch it. We'll bet on it.
Because they're not really going to hurt each other that badly. They're just going to scrap.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be the Don King of elementary school fight club if you could? Would you?
I'd grow an afro for that.
Would you promote it?
Oh, yeah.
Would you walk around? Only in third grade. Only in third grade.
Yeah, it's not. It's less afro and more like a troll's hairstyle with Don King, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I would definitely find me some Mike Tyson preschooler.
Yeah, okay. You would.
All right.
Find you a custom motto to train him up.
Yeah, absolutely. So in St. Louis, Missouri, a mom and her son, 11 years old, carjacked a man.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yes.
That's aggressive.
An 11-year-old and his mother?
And his mother. If you hear the news, they're basically blaming the kid. They're all worried about the kid and say they talk about the kid first. It's not the mom forces.
He's 11.
The kid.
That's a bad
son
look.
And mother. Carjack man.
Okay, carjack like at gunpoint?
No, he pistol whipped my guy. The kid did while mom dragged him out the car.
Oh my God.
The way they got away with it, they looked, I guess, homely. And
by homely, do you mean homeless?
Yeah, but so obviously not well, to where the man thought he was doing a good deed by helping them out and giving them a ride.
Oh my
gosh. They were like, we need a ride here and there. You see a kid, you see a mother. Come on, harmless. Homeboy ends up getting pistol whipped by a revolver from the 11-year-old.
All right, I'm just going to say this. I know it's a fact that we all understand, but I'm going to say it out loud. If you got pistol whipped by an 11-year-old, that would mean, Trey, that at some point before that moment, an 11-year-old learned how to pistol whip someone.
Well, like, that's not that hard.
That education had to happen. Did the mom
walk him through it? You take the butt of the gun and you hit
him
in the head. You know, pistol whipping is not like doing karate or something.
No, I understand that part. But my mother and father never said to me at ages 8, 9, or 10, here's how to pistol whip someone. He had to be taught that.
Hell, Calvin's been taking his Nerf guns and his other toy guns and trying to pistol whip his mom and me ever since he got that damn mohawk a couple days ago.
Is the Mohawk not as good as you thought it would be? Is it causing more trouble than it's causing good times?
The Mohawk is really cool, and he's just taking his attitude to the next level as a result.
Oh, my God.
I don't think this kid had a Mohawk, so no, he might Mohawk. Be good, Trey.
What state are we in again, did you tell us?
Missouri.
St. Louis.
It's St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, yeah. My God.
Not the best area.
11 and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you fellas this.
Yeah.
1 to 10, if you see a mom and a son, side of the road, same age, are you picking them up? Are you doing your good deed for the day?
Is it raining?
We already know the answer for you. You've had the opportunity to help out coworkers, and you just pass them by.
That is so...
You're not helping out a random mom and son.
That is so accurate, but there's no need to say it out loud.
I am also passing by mom and son, especially after hearing this story.
Right. After this story, I feel like I'm going to fake check my phone and keep driving.
You just say, you know, it's sad you can't trust anybody anymore.
No.
I hate that. I really wish there was a different way around this, but the bottom line is you have to fight for you and yours, because otherwise you're going to pick a mom and her 11-year-old up, and you're going to end up pistol-whipped as a result, and your car is going to be gone.
Man, that's awful. That is awful, awful
What kind of gun was it? A revolver?
Yeah.
Hmm. Do we have descriptions of these two?
No, unfortunately.
Hmm. What kind of car was it?
Nissan. Nissan, I want to say Rogue.
Oh. Nissan Rogue, okay.
Officers are searching for an 11-year-old no one wants to mess with. That's the description we've got.
Yeah.
Badass-looking 11-year-old you don't want to screw around with.
How would you pistol-whip somebody?
How would I pistol-whip someone?
Yeah.
I feel like I would turn the gun completely around, hold the barrel, and go at it that way. Go at it like, almost like axe handle kind of thing, so that the... Mm-hmm. Hopefully the trigger would not become involved and it would stay a pistol whipping. I feel like if I had the gun in gun position, something much worse could occur. So I think I'd flip it around and go axe handle.
You know what happens when you grab a gun by the barrel and try and hit somebody in the head with the handle?
I don't.
The gun possibly goes off and you end up shooting yourself.
Okay, then I wouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that? I should do something different?
The proper way...
What, like...
Kids, if you're listening right now, don't pistol whip anybody. The proper way to do this...
Easy, Uncle Trey.
...is to take the gun in hand like you would normally handle it, make sure the handle is sticking out whatever side you want to hit the person with, and basically just club him from the side with the handle.
The old
and
club.
That leaves a mark.
The old side club.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Let's be honest, though. If any kids are listening right now, it means that they're skipping school. They're already well on their way to pistol whipping somebody to take their car.
So real quick, Trey, in the past, you have stated clearly on any and all shows that you've done that you could take out a giraffe.
Even if
you didn't have a weapon.
But no question, and I've seen some giraffes since then who are interacting with humans. I'm like, these suckers would have no chance against me.
I will give you, though, the option of a non-bulleted weapon. Like, I'm not going to give you an actual gun to use to shoot the giraffe, but you could use an empty gun, you could pistol whip, you could use a knife, whatever. If I give you a weapon, whatever you want, what weapon would you choose for the giraffe fight if I gave it to you? You want a pistol whip? Do you want a sword? A knife? A club?
I'd probably go battle axe just to help out with those legs. The only thing that worries me about the giraffe is the legs.
Battle axe.
You cut one of those legs off, that giraffe's not going to know what to do.
I like how you're seeing yourself as like a super strong, like Hulk quality video game guy. Oh no, I'd do the battle axe and just chop his legs off.
Oh, it's going to take some effort just to get the battle axe up to the giraffe, much less swing the thing. But if I can get the proper swing, cut one of those legs off on those freakish helicopter knees, all of a sudden that giraffe is screwed. Next place the battle axe get used is on its neck when that giraffe is on the ground.
I would love...
Now I've got a giraffe head to carry around with me.
I want everybody to imagine that moment where either the giraffe uses a leg or its neck to hit Trey so hard that the battle axe flies up in the air and Trey goes the other way, hits the ground and thinks, maybe I was wrong about this whole giraffe thing.
I've been practicing just in case I ever encounter a giraffe walking around Austin.
Of course you have. Of course, because that
what I've been doing.
Because that happens on Mopac. What have you been doing?
Going up to Toys R Us's and spearing that jackass wearing the Jeffrey mascot costume.
Oh, that's great. That'd be even better if we still had Toys R Us. They're gone. They're done. Where did the Toys R Us go?
That was a much better bit 2 years ago.
Oh, my God. Isaiah, are you too young to appreciate Toys R Us, or did y'all have a Toys R Us phase?
Not at all. The Toys R Us, that was right up here, up the road.
Yeah, the one on Lamar and 360.
Yeah, that was my joint.
Man.
Absolutely.
From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
I hear my kids now, and they always clamor when my mom comes into town to take them to Target, because that's kind of their toy store. I'm like, I feel so bad for you guys. Like, I understand what you're doing, but I feel so bad because you don't have a Toys R Us to clamor for.
Yeah.
You have to go to Target or Walmart or someplace else that has an okay toy supply, but it's not a store committed entirely to toys like Toys R Us was.
Oh, man. Every year when we were little, it would be a December day that started with a one, and they would take us to Toys R Us, and we'd just walk around in awe, just total overload. And then they'd try to get a sense for what we really liked, what we really wanted. I got to look at all the new Transformers, the ones I didn't even know were there. Oh, my God, Optimus Prime's got a Corvette that he drives, or whatever it is. And then I got to tell them all the stuff I wanted, and maybe I get one.
Wait a minute. Optimus Prime had a car that he was driving around?
No, that sounded stupid now as it came out of my mouth. I realized. Come on, Chad, he's a truck. He turns into a truck. Why would a truck drive a car?
It's like, what the heck is Optimus Prime doing? This is not at all efficient. I thought Optimus Prime was all about efficiency.
That was a brief series they did one Christmas. Transformers stupid ideas. That's what they did.
If Optimus Prime had like a battle axe that he was carrying around, that I would understand, because Optimus Prime otherwise is just firing things from his shoulders.
That's true. Yeah, he had the big gun. He had the big gun. And sword, I think, at times. He had all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
All right. Hope you have a good Friday. That is where we're at in society. Please be careful if you see a mother and an 11-year-old on the side of the road that need a ride. The 11-year-old might know how to pistol whip you. That's the world we're living in. Oh, my God. Stay inside and watch football. 2 o'clock hour coming up. Sammy P., the betting analyst for Nesson, is coming up. We got to ask about Presbyterian, and he's got a couple other games he's interested in. Plus at 2:30, why September 24th matters, including an iconic movie that this area is known for that was made on this day. Coming up on The Horn.